Our reading this morning is from the book of Revelations 21 and 22. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, and the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Then the angel showed me the river of the waters of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He who testifies to these things says, Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of God, Lord Jesus, be with God's people. Amen.
Thank you, Janet. The book of Revelation, which we're finishing up today, is about mystery and majesty. The mystery of beasts with 10 heads and the seals and the trumpets and the vials of wrath and the events that are portrayed in this book. A lot of it is mystery, and we will only find out really what that means when it happens. But the main theme of this book is the majesty, the glory of the Lamb who was slain, who is now exalted at the right hand of God, on the throne of God, and is the center of this whole book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is, that's what it's named from in the first chapter, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we come to the end, the last two chapters of this book, and indeed the last two chapters of the whole of God's written word in the Bible, we come to what I would call the consummation of all of God's purposes from the beginning right down through history. We look at the eternal state into which we will enter, that awaits us in heaven, and a new heaven and a new earth, and a brand new eternal place, where God and the redeemed will live in joy and peace and love and perfection for eternity. God's new community, God's people who have started here on earth, will then be in that place. And it won't be sitting around playing harps. It will be a time of very real functioning as intelligent humans created by God to live that way. I often think, you know, if God made such an amazing world that He did, as He did in this, as we look around to nature and we see the complexity of the human body and the human mind, for eternity, to have us just sitting around bored for the rest of our eternity is ridiculous. That God, when God created Adam and Eve, He put them in the garden. He said, till the soil and guard the place. In other words, I've given you responsibilities. You've got stuff to do. And I'm sure that in the eternal state, there will be no change. In fact, we'll see that we're to serve the Lord for eternity. And whatever those roles of service will be, we will find out at that time. Revelation. All history comes to a happy ending. You know how you read a kid's story or a fairy tale. The fairy tale often ends and they lived happily ever after. But this is not a fairy tale and we're going to live happily ever after. At creation, God said, it is good. He created everything and humans and He said, it is good. In fact, very good. Then the fall and the sin and rebellion and suffering that resulted from that came into the world. And then the Lord God sent His Son, the Savior, to die on the cross to liberate this world, to liberate people and all of us and bring us salvation. And when He died on the cross, He said, it is finished. The payment has been made in full. And then now we have in verse 6 here, it is done. And I thought that's a beautiful sum of the whole of the story of redemption in the Bible. It is good, but the fall. It is finished and it is done, which means it will come to pass, or it has come to pass. Right, let's look then at this eternal state that we, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus and He is our Savior and Lord, that we will be a part of this in the future sometime. It might not be far away. So, first of all, the eternal state involves the renewal of all creation. That He says in verse 1 here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The first heaven had passed away. Interesting. That right now, my mother and father and many others are in heaven. Tom Long is in heaven. But that heaven will one day be rolled up and a new heaven will be created by God. And the same with the earth. This earth, we live in this earth, on this earth. And we enjoy all the pleasures of nature and the sunshine and the snow occasionally. But it's going to be totally destroyed and God is going to create a whole new earth. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away in Matthew 24. In 2 Peter chapter 3, let me read these verses. And it's in the context here of Peter talking about the mocking and the scoffing in the last days, it says in verse 3, that there'll be scoffers who will come and saying, where's the promise of His coming? Jesus said He's coming back. Well, today it's like 2,000 years later. Come on. And they scoff at that. And he goes on to say that, remember back when a similar thing happened where there was a flood and God warned that there would be a flood and that the world would be destroyed by the flood and those who put their faith in what God revealed to be true through Noah would be saved and they were saved and everyone else was destroyed? Well, I tell you what, he says, the same thing's going to happen, but it's not going to be a flood. This time it says, by the same word. Interesting, the same word relating back to the flood. Now by that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And it says in verse 10, the heavens will disappear with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with fire and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare or burned up.
And then in verse 12 it says, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So there is going to be no earth, and all as we know it now. And in fact, the new heavens and the new earth are going to be something quite different. This universe is not eternal. In fact, scientists know that, because everything's winding down, and there's entropy, which is the scientific term. And just take, for instance, the sun. It consumes about 600 million tons of hydrogen per second. In fact, it's one of the strongest arguments, one of the good arguments against evolution, because if you go back millions of years, as evolution requires, the sun would have been so much more strong and powerful, and so because it's been reducing all this time. So it's reducing and reducing. It's winding down. God didn't create the world as an eternal, or the universe as it's something eternal. He created it, he designed it to be a temporary thing, obviously. And our bodies are temporary, which we'll come to in a minute. The new heaven will be eternal. It's like God causes the earth to pass away and he resurrects it into a brand new, just like Jesus' body was a glorious body compared with the body that he was nailed to the cross with. He could appear here and then disappear and move and be anywhere he wanted to be. And we're going to have a body like, it says, unto his glorious body. In Isaiah 65 we read, I will create a new heavens and new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. It's going to be history, totally history. And the new heavens are going to be new in character. The word new there means that. It means a whole new thing. It's not like God's not going to renovate the earth like a house you'll see up here. I saw this, I thought, oh, that's very interesting. I wonder what the person is like who renovated that house. That's not going to happen with the universe. God's going to create it totally new. It's more like this, where if you owned a T-model Ford and drove around in it, and then you found that there was another Ford that was, you couldn't afford, but anyway, another Ford, and you know, it's not the same thing, but it's the same thing. That sounds weird. But anyway, that's what it is. I mean, both cars have got four wheels, seats, a steering wheel, an engine, transmission, right? But one is totally new. It's not a renovation of the old T model, putting new wheels on, a new transmission and a V8 motor in the middle of it. No, it is a totally new, but it's the same kind. And that's what we're talking about here. Heaven is going to be beyond our imagination. It is going to be something that, I mean, there's going to be no sea. 70% of the world's surface is covered by water. There's going to be no sea. The new Jerusalem coming down is going to be a cube. And like, we're going to have bodies like the Lord's body. And so it's not a matter of living just, we live on the horizontal plane, because that's all we, unless we get in an aircraft. But, well, I mean, we live on horizontal because we can't do anything else. But with our glorified bodies, a cube sounds reasonable. Let me go up instead of sideways, if wanted, or down. And so it's going to be something beyond. There's going to be no sun, or no need of the sun. And there's going to be no night. It's going to be eternal day. We don't need to sleep. We don't need to eat, but we can. Jesus didn't need to eat, but he ate the fish after the resurrection, remember? It's going to be so unfamiliar for us today to try and imagine that. a new earth with our new bodies, a totally new beginning. The old has gone in reality and in memory. Then we talk about here the New Jerusalem. And we find later in the chapter, and second, in the next chapter too, that it's the dwelling place of God, and the Lamb is in this New Jerusalem, and it's the dwelling place of God's bride, of Christ's bride, the people of God, the redeemed. And so it's going to be huge. You can see, like, compared with the United States and compared with Australia, you'll see how huge it is. It's going to be almost the size of the moon. And it's going to come down out of heaven, and it's going to, well, we don't know what it's going to do, but it sounds like it's going to hover in above the earth. Above the original Jerusalem, probably. And so it's going to be massive. And the wall around it is dazzling, a spectrum of color with all the jewels, that it's trying to describe something in terms that we can understand, of something that is far beyond our ability to grasp unless we see it. And so the various precious stones that are listed out at the end of chapter 21 are listed there, or near the end of the chapter, showing the dazzling spectrum of color, gold like transparent glass. Probably not the kind of gold that we know now. A kind of gold that is like glass that's transparent. Wow. And that's going to be on the streets, and it's going to be amazing. The wall is going to have the foundations of, with the names of the 12 apostles, and then the pearly gates. Well, they're single pearls for the gates. I don't know how that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Maybe it's in God's new world, it's just going to be beyond belief when we get there. Do you have a bucket list? One of the things I want to do is go on Route 66, which we're planning to do when I finish up here, before we go back to Australia. Maybe we won't go the whole distance, we'll go some of the way. And I want to go on the GAN, which is a train, a high-class train that goes right up the centre of Australia. And it's like you can kick back and enjoy and look out when you want to look out and play cards or do whatever you want to do while you're travelling up there. There's a couple of other things I want to do. Do you have a gold bucket list? A gold bucket list? Like, when you get to heaven, what's the things you want to do? Want to see Jesus? The very same Jesus who walked the streets of Jerusalem and Israel. And catch up with Tom Long and your mum or your dad or your others that have gone to be with the Lord. Do you want to see the golden streets? I've got a bucket list for heaven, a golden bucket list. I'm sure you do too. But the value of this city is not the precious jewels and the gold. It's Christ, the Lamb, and the God of eternity, and his people in the city. Then we see a new order. For the old order, it says in verse 4, of things has passed away, and he says, I will make all things new. And then we come to this passage where it says that, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, I will make all things new. The curse of Eden, of Garden of Eden, the curse that brought tears, mourning, pain, and death, tears, that order is passed away. It's gone. This is the new order. There will be no death. It says in 1 Corinthians, he, Jesus, must reign until he has put his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. There will be no death. You will live forever and ever. So will those who are not in heaven will live forever and ever. No more tears, no sorrow, unhappiness that's unavoidable in today's world. Tears of abuse, tears of loneliness, tears of poverty, of injury, tears of regret. No more mourning the loss of a loved one. No more pain, physical, mental, or emotional pain. Today, over-the-counter analgesics in USA, there's over 3 billion sold every year. It's massive. There's going to be no doctors. Hey, Steve, there's going to be no insurance. You'll have to find a different job. I think that Aaron will find a good job because there'll be harps. Well, nearest thing to a violin, so you might be okay there. There's going to be no police. So, yeah. Tell Larry. There's going to be no, hospitals or doctors or nurses. That's heaven. Are you going to be there? The early Christians faced death, suffering, tears, pain. But they were unflinching in their hope. In fact, the hope of the early church was what inspired others to become believers and follow Jesus themselves. Because despite the brutality and the oppression and the poverty that they were forced into because they named the name of Jesus, they had hope. And these very words, this book of Revelation is written to inspire hope to a suffering church. And so they could have their faith in Jesus facing the future and die with inspired hope, with unflinching hope. And don't forget the words of Jesus here, or of the angels first and then Jesus. In 21:5 and then in chapter 22 verse 6, the same words are used. These words are trustworthy and true. You know, if these people reading this who are suffering read about all that was going to happen and they thought it was just fairy tales or just can be explained away in some way that it was just symbolic language, if it wasn't going to be real and it wasn't going to actually take place, there'd be no hope. Hope is set on something concrete that's going to happen in the future. They believed God's word, that's why they had hope. Faith facing the future is what hope is. And so he says these words are trustworthy and true. Twice he says. And four times in chapter 22, he calls all of this book, Revelation, prophecy. The prophecy of this scroll, or the prophecy of this book. And then Jesus himself says in chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony to the churches. He's on my behalf. It's like Jesus saying, I am Jesus and I approve this message. The second thing is that the removal of all corruption, that the holy city will be a holy city. There's going to be nothing that's impure or unholy in the city. And at the gates of the walls around the city, which is could be symbolic, but anyway, there's angels. And it reminded me again of Genesis 3. There's a lot of connection between Genesis 3 and the garden with these two chapters. The tree of life is mentioned several times, for instance. And here you have angels. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, they were sent out of the garden and angels were put there to guard the place to stop them getting to what? The tree of life. Lest they ate it and live forever. God did not want us to be in a permanent place of separation from the tree of life. That one who would come to give life would bring salvation. And that was God's plan. So, you have here eight characteristics of the unbelievers who are not permitted into heaven. Nothing impure will enter it. And it goes on and it says here, the cowardly, too cowardly to name the name of Christ. Anyone will follow me, he must take up his cross and follow me. The unbelieving, this is willful unbelieving. Like Romans 1 talks about those who have the knowledge of God and it's plain to them, but they are without excuse because they refuse that knowledge. Willful unbelief. The vile, that means abominable and polluted, doing abominable things. Murders, violence and lawlessness. Sexual immorality, sorcerers, those who practice magic arts and the occult. Idolaters, false religion, or a facade of religion. Hypocrisy. And all liars. So I'm not an idolater and I'm not I don't commit sexual immorality and all the others, but what about lying? So it's saying that there's nothing impure at all that is able to be in heaven. Totally pure, perfect, because it's the eternal state. Mess up the eternal state, if we allow sin in, if God allows sin in, it'd be a mess just like today in our world. You know, we were made for eternity. Oh, we were put in temporary bodies, but we were made for eternity. God took dirt from the ground and he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. There's the temporary part of our being, which is our bodies, and there's the eternal part of our being, the life that comes from God. Different from all the animals, different from all other life in the universe. Our life is eternal. It comes from God. It's not eternal life. It's not his life. It is the life that we received at creation and has been passed down through our forefathers to us today is a life that comes from God and it will not cease. It lives forever and ever. But our bodies are temporary. If God had made us in our permanent bodies, in a permanent universe, and we sinned, there's no redemption. There's no redemption for the angels. They're in their permanent state. So when those angels that went with Lucifer and rebelled, they are eternally lost. But we, in God's wisdom and grace, created us with a temporary body so that he could take upon himself that temporary body and die. God dying for us on a cross so that he might conquer death and sin and hell and raise himself from the dead, and then all who put their faith in him receive his life, eternal life, and will one day receive a body like unto his glorious body, an eternal body to live in the eternal future home in heaven. What an amazing plan that God has. He created us temporary, knowing we would fall, knowing that from that there will be those who will love him despite everything and come to him and put their faith in him. And then those ones will be gathered so that in eternity he will have his people who love him and who follow him and are his. Without sin in his presence. And thirdly, I started late, by the way, So I'm going to run a little late because we're running 10 minutes behind time. But I'll take a couple minutes with this one, but it's really important. The realization of God's purpose. In verses 3 and 4, we read these words, that in this heavenly Jerusalem that comes down, it says, now the dwelling of God is with men or people, it's generic, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So this is not some God way up there somewhere who's far removed. This is the intimacy along with the transcendency of God. And that we will be, it says in 1 John that we will see him as he is. And we shall be like him. We will share his love. We will have closeness of fellowship. Again, go back to the garden. Adam and Eve, God walked with them in the cool of the day. There was that intimacy and that relationship with God back then. And now it's going to be even better. Because we'll now understand his grace and his mercy and his kindness and all that he is. And we will share his joy. Running from the throne is a river of water, and it fertilizes the garden of that future place, whatever that might be. There's another garden. The human race began with a garden and ends in an eternal garden. But anyway, that you have there this water that will quench. And he says in verse 6, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he talks about in chapter 22 that the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. And then we find at the end there's a call. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. In other words, what he's saying here is that there will be continual quenching of the thirst from God. And we find in the Bible there's a lot of references to water as referring to the Spirit of God. And Jesus himself says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he talks about the Spirit being the one who will quench that thirst. So, and we will share his glory. The city will be the bride. There'll be no need for a sun because the Lamb will be the light of the place. The gates will never be closed. There's no need for security. The kings and the nations will dwell in harmony. There'll be full enjoyment of God's creation. There'll be occupation. They'll be serving the Lamb, it says. And there'll be an open relationship with God. And it will be permanent and secure. And then God's provision of the garden. Let's move down to the final call. At the last few verses of the book, emphasize the fact that Jesus is coming back. Three times Jesus says, I am coming quickly. The word is translated soon in NIV, but it really means suddenly. I'm coming suddenly. Be prepared. I'm coming soon. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming suddenly. Jesus is coming back. And that is going to start the whole of the process that's going to lead to eventually our living and enjoying the eternal home that God has prepared for us. I'll finish with this. Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go away to prepare a place for you? By the way, that's not him with a hammer and nail making a place for us to live. He prepared the place by going to the cross. I'll prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a wonderful hope. Is it your hope? Is it something that is true of you? If not, this morning, you can put your faith in Jesus
And you can be sure that you're going to be a part of this and not one who is outside God's eternal home for his people. Let's sing our final song. And as the musicians come up, I'm just going to pray. Our Father, I just pray that your Spirit will draw us to not only a greater appreciation of what you in your love have planned for us, but what in your love you have done for us. And that any here who don't know you, who have never made that commitment of faith in Christ and have assurance of salvation, eternal salvation, that they may be willing to make that step and speak to me or someone else today and make that certain. We pray in Jesus' name.